the Huskies. Sports Radio 950 KJR AM and KJR FM HD2 Seattle.
Huskies strike first.
This is the Coors Light Husky Honks Talk postgame. Fresh brewed Coors Light, keeping Seattle chill. Powered by your Northwest Chevy dealers. It's time for the Husky Honks on your home for the Huskies. Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Dylan Morris goes out of the shotgun. 26 seconds left. Third down and two. 20-yard line. Snap to Morris. Back to pass. Morris looks. Chucks it toward the end zone for McMillan. It's caught. Back in the end zone. Touchdown, Jalen McMillan with 21 seconds to go. Jalen McMillan finds Pater, and the Huskies score a touchdown for the first time tonight on a dime drop from heaven by Dylan Morris. The Huskies take an 18-13 lead.
39-yard line, Stanford has the ball. Shotgun snap to McKee. He's back to pass, steps up in the pocket, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Bookie Radley Hiles. He slides down at the 36-yard line, and the Huskies are going to see a six-game losing streak on the farm come to an end.
All right, dog fans, here we go on a Saturday night. It'll be a Sunday morning in about 9 minutes from now, but we are hanging out live, 645 Elliott Avenue, the KJR Studios, the Husky Honk postgame show, sponsored by Chevy Silverado. With a choice of eight engines, you can be sure to have the right tool for the job with Silverado in Silverado HD. Well, a man to my left who claimed this morning to have woken up with a feeling.
That's right.
And you never know at the age of 52, what those feelings may be. It could be a lot of things at the age of 52 years old. But it was a feeling that led you to believe that Washington was going to end this streak to Stanford. And for the first time since 2007, UW has done exactly that. There were times where it was not pretty. There were times where it was frustrating as hell. But in the end, UW survives, and they climb back to 500 at 4-4 with their first win on the farm in 14 years. How about that?
Go Dogs. And you know what? It didn't look pretty, I guess, along the way. I will say this, though. I thought the three players who had their best games of the year were named Jimmy Lake, Donovan, and Gregory. I think those guys dialed up a game plan that worked against Stanford, and regardless of how it transpired and worked out, I thought they did enough in the run game. They saw some weaknesses there and had our best rushing performance of the season, 239 yards. They also understood what it was going to take on the defensive side of the ball, and they seemed like they were one step ahead of Stanford the whole game. And I really, really think that those three played their best games today.
Well, I was really impressed with Peyton Henry.
Oh,
I thought that was just an excellent game on his part, and he basically won the game for us. I was really impressed with Bruner. You know, Carson Bruner is a baller. We've been looking for that middle linebacker.
Runs in the blood.
And, you know, it's just interesting. The other guy that was really good was Dom Hampton.
Yeah.
And those guys really helped up the middle.
Yeah.
You notice the way Hampton tackles. He tackles high and wraps a guy up. And you know, people didn't go forward because he's such a big man. And Carson Bruner is going to be a dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he
freshman.
He already is a dude.
Yeah. Oh no, he
and he's
is
just a freshman.
But he came out tonight and he balled. I mean, 15 tackles
in three quarters.
A true freshman. That's just amazing. You know, I thought MJ Tavisi had some nice plays and Sermon. Obviously, Jackson Sermon had a wonderful interception.
Big play.
And you know what's great, Dave? All the things we talked about, we won the turnover thing. We won the running game. We won the kicking game. And
sacks.
Yeah, sacks.
You said sacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And, three sacks to none.
Yeah.
I really tip my hat to Greg because I think that Bob Gregory called a great game.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the best defensive performances Washington's had in years. And they went down there and played big bully ball against the bullies.
Yeah, we out Stanford.
We took back the mantle as the tough guys now.
We talked about before the game that the roles had been reversed, where Stanford was now the tough guy and we were the ones that were being intimidated and being out physical. Well, today we changed that. We turned that around. Defensively, we hit them in the mouth time after time after time. On the offensive side of the ball, we did just run the damn ball today. That's what we did. Times and situations where you might have thought, well, let's open it up a little bit now. They stayed with their game plan, and ultimately that game plan worked, and it was a fantastic job.
That big run at the end was a really well-called play at the time.
The keeper by Dylan Morris?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. The run by
McGrew or
Cam Davis had a monster run.
Well, the final drive, McGrew had one for 16.
Oh, that was it.
And then Cam had one for 6, but there was a 22-yarder by Cam Davis, I believe, on the previous drive as well, or the third to last drive.
Those two kids really played well.
They both did.
No fumbles.
No, and I thought for sure as we're watching this game that they would do what they did a week ago and they would go with a fresh body in the fourth quarter like they did with Cam Davis, and they didn't do that. They just kept rolling with Cam Davis and Sean McGrew the entire game, and Kamari Pleasant couldn't even get on the field tonight, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and I don't know why he was the one who was chosen to be the odd man out, so I don't know if there's something going on with him. But what I have said is, to me, it's tough to play three guys and expect anybody to really get in a rhythm and really have success, because you get better as the game goes on. You get an idea of what they're trying to do defensively, how guys are tackling you, you know, what sort of moves you can use to make guys miss, who's going to, you know, who you put your shoulder into and who you try to avoid, all those things. So I just thought that they made the right moves, the right chess moves happen today in order for the Huskies to win this football game. And you know, we're not letting anybody off the hook. We know there's been some struggles on what are we and who are we offensively, but I thought they did what they needed to do to win this football game.
Well, here's the funny thing. We just got done talking like 3 weeks ago. We made the transition to a passing team. Have we now gone back?
Yeah, yes.
Because they carried the ball 42 times tonight, which is what they should have done in a game like this.
Exactly, Dave. You're absolutely right. I think we asserted our will in this game, and I think we took back the mantle. I really appreciated this win because it was tough ball. It was smash mouth football, and we just kept slamming it in there, and we stopped their run, and they couldn't stop our run.
And I think the coaches were sending a message not just to Stanford or the teams we're going to play, but to our own team that we can be a tough physical team and win football games this way, and that gives the kids sort of that edge and that mantle to carry. So I thought overall the coaches did a great job preparing these guys and setting them up for having success.
Well, let me just throw this guys at you, because I think there was and you mentioned it, there were times where things weren't really functioning offensively. With 7:05 left to go in the game, you had 73 yards passing on 18 attempts. And then you kind of got things going on that last drive, right? Dylan Morris ends up 17-25, 146, and a touchdown. And we can talk about this more on Tuesday, but if this game doesn't go the way it went and they struggle and they don't get that touchdown, are we talking about making a quarterback change next Saturday? Did Dylan Morris save his starting job at quarterback with that drive, Greg, to end this game?
Well, I don't want to really, you know, go into whether he saved his job or not, because I thought he played a good enough football game for us to cut him some slack. He did what he was asked to do today. Did he throw a bad pass or two? Absolutely. It happens to everybody during a football game. But there was probably a couple drives before the last drive. He hit back-to-back slant routes to McMillan, and those were passes that got us first down or a lot of yards on first down to keep us ahead of the chains. He did what he was asked to do today and made enough throws in order for us to not have to keep talking about him.
I think that we took advantage of the fact that their corners were playing off. We talked about that before the game, that, you know, that one of the things they're going to do is try and not get beat deep. And so I thought Coach Donovan did a nice job. We threw more bubbles quick stuff to the outside, lateral passing game. We probably completed more lateral balls than we did downfield.
We saw some trickery.
Yeah.
Terrell Bynum was going to chuck that ball, and Cade Otton's not there, so he takes off and runs for a first down.
You know what else they did? They ran the counter play.
Yes, I see.
There was pulling linemen today. Most of the time they
Wait a minute. Didn't you say that in the pregame show?
Yeah, they we talked about they should
maybe Donovan tunes into the pregame show.
No.
You think he's in the locker room with his headphones on?
Well, if he turned this into a pregame show, they'd be undefeated. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, they did some things today that showed that they were really interested in figuring out how we beat Stanford. It wasn't about anything other than coming in and dissecting this team and what where they're vulnerable, and we're going to stick to that. And it, like I said, it's like Shaw. We're going to stick to this game plan no matter what happens, no matter what the score is at any given time in the game. We're going to stick with our game plan, and we believe this is going to give us a win in the end.
And you know, I forgot to mention Tuna Ufi. He had two back-to-back sacks.
Yeah.
He's the smallest defensive lineman on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is not a big man comparatively. But if you see him with his shirt off, I mean, this guy is ripped. He is really cut. And he was so explosive. He had two sacks in a row.
Yeah, I thought the entire defensive line played well
today.
I think that they, you know, they got in their gaps. They took up space. They actually took on double teams and allowed the linebackers to flow. And Carson Bruner, because of that, had a fantastic football game.
Well, he can play linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get in that lineup, and he's going to stay there.
Well, there's a lot of moments in this game where this game could have gone about 15,000 different directions.
But it went the right way.
Yeah, late third quarter, Stanford's trailing 12-3. You got a 4th and 4 from the Husky 45, and Zion jumps offsides, right?
Yeah.
And you can argue that maybe there should have been a delay on that play. The officials will usually let that go a tick or two when the clock hits double zeros, so I'd have to go back and get the stopwatch out and see how long double zeros actually were up there. But Zion jumps offsides 10 plays later, by the way, in kind of just typical Stanford fashion. They score, and it's 12-10. Fourth quarter, 3rd and 8 from the plus 43. You get a sack negated on a holding penalty by Trent McDuffie, and Stanford ends up getting the go-ahead field goal. So there were moments in this game where, man, it just felt like this was not going to be the Huskies' night. And then especially on that drive where they got stuffed, they had 3 consecutive plays, Greg. Early fourth quarter, 2nd and 2 from the Stanford 46, Cam Davis for 1. 3rd and 1 from the 45, Cam Davis, no gain. 4th and 1 from the 44, here we go again. The same quarterback sneak that we saw against Oregon State a couple weeks ago, and they get stuffed again, and they found a way to win the game.
Well, first of all, I think Cam Davis got screwed on the spot. I think he actually got the first down on the quarterback sneak. I think because of the way our defense is playing at that time, I would have punted it.
Yep.
Be that as it may, the coaches called the play.
Yeah.
I think
it was 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
It was like deja vu, though.
Plenty of time.
It was just a repeat of the last week's deal.
I think when Dylan runs the quarterback sneak, though, he's so anxious of getting the ball and just trying to lean forward that he's really on the center's butt. And the center's the one lineman who has to do something before he's able to explode out. So he doesn't necessarily get a lot of push. You got to be able to hesitate a little bit, find out which side the gap is, left or right. And I think if he would have gotten a snap, veered to the left just a little bit, there would have been an easy first down. So he's got to get a better feel for running that
play. And our center had his hands full the whole night.
Yeah, number 50 was a monster.
That guy was a big dude.
Yeah.
And he was stuffing us back almost every play.
Well, you know, what did we learn about UW? I mean, they're not the worst team in the conference, right? I think we can say that. They're good enough to beat, you know,
the
bottom two or three teams in this conference. I mean, California went out and beat Oregon State today, so good for them.
Right.
But California was a two-win team going in. Arizona's not good. Stanford's not good. So, you know, look, I mean, they'll get a chance to show what they're about next weekend,
Oregon. You do know Stanford beat Oregon, right?
Right, but they're a 3-4 football team, Greg. They're not very good.
I'm not saying that.
Stanford's
I'm just
not
saying
very good.
That we,
sure.
This conference is what it is, Dave. We bring it back to that. And so that means next week we play Oregon, guess what? We got a shot.
Well, nobody has delusions of grandeur that Washington is a national title contender this year.
Just want to win the next game.
There's no question about that. Are they good enough to find a way to get in the conference race? Well, they are in the conference race. They're a game out of first place right now. Look, maybe that says less about the conference than more about UW. I certainly am willing to hear that. But this is the game next Saturday now. I mean, Jimmy Lake has an opportunity. All we've been doing is talking about changing the narrative for this football team. The more games like this tonight, Greg, that you can collect, the more you can change the narrative.
Well, we talked about they hadn't won on the road in quite some time, and they sort of exercised that demon. However you want to look at last week, they got it done. We talked about they haven't won against Stanford down there in a while, lost two in a row. Stanford actually has the series advantage over us. He was able to accomplish something that we haven't done in a while, win down at Stanford. So you are getting some things accomplished that gives your team the confidence that, hey, we are a good enough football team to compete in this conference every week. So that means next week when we go out to practice on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to put in the effort that it takes to win against Oregon on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, and that is a monster game, isn't it? Goodness gracious.
They're all monsters.
Oh, I know, everyone.
When you're on the brink, every damn week is a monster, for God's sake.
You're right.
Hey, and
if you
were to win out, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying
let's just win the next game.
We're going to focus on the next game, but I'm saying where you are as a team, if you were to win out, the teams that are ahead of you are still to be played on your schedule, right. You could end up in a really good situation. So that's the motivation to go out and work hard and put in the time every week.
Well, I think Washington, just again, I hate to be repetitive, but I only have so many unique thoughts in my brain. they need to change the story. They need to change the narrative of the program. They need to dial down the volume and get people to talk about positives and stop with the negative. And it's not the fans' fault. It's not the media's fault. You got to go out and get to win games and look good doing it. And the more of that you do, the more people will jump on the wagon. And let's face it. I mean, I asked you, Greg, if Dylan Morris had saved his starting job. I don't know what Jimmy Lake would have done. I can't begin to speak for him or John Donovan, what move they would have made or would not have made against Oregon next week. I do know this. There are a lot of Dog fans out there who believe that if the Huskies had lost this game, it would have made sense to maybe go with somebody else next Saturday against the Oregon Ducks. So I think this. I think if we're sitting here in a year, 2 years from now, and we're talking about a junior or a sophomore, Dylan Morris, doing well, elevating his game, for example, we could look back to nights like tonight as a real fork in the road type moment for him.
Obviously, it's his best performance. I mean, it wasn't he wasn't lights out throwing, but he had the throw at the end of the game, the only touchdown we got, and that was and he had that. I think the guy that helped him out, though, was McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jalen McMillan had a great game. I mean, we didn't even throw Harley to the other guys, you know, but we did get a drop out of Bynum, which is unusual, but I thought Jalen McMillan had a great game.
And I think he also, not McMillan, but Dylan, also made good decisions today.
Yeah.
There wasn't a decision that I saw him make that was questionable. I saw him throw a ball or two that, you know, weren't necessarily where he wanted it to go. But his decision-making was just fine today, and that's progress. That means that he's getting better. He didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't put the receivers in any dangerous positions. So I think that's progress for him, and he is our starting quarterback.
Well, you said it a couple weeks ago, Coach. You wanted Dylan Morris to stop throwing picks.
He's got to stop doing that right now.
And he's kind of stopped it, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's not turning the ball over. So at the very least, right, at the very, very least, you want to play quarterback for this football team. You can't turn the ball over. You got to stop throwing picks. So good on Dylan for making that turn. We'll see if the progress continues to go up and up and up in a great trajectory. All right, we'll get a break. We'll get some of your phone calls. How do you feel after tonight's game? 286-9595, 800-829-0950. Husky Honk postgame show sponsored by Chevy Trailblazer with 8 advanced safety features, standard and available all-wheel drive. Trailblazer is ready for whatever. Your thoughts on what you saw tonight? Do you feel good about the game? You feel like the Huskies are now moving and trending in the right direction? Or do you still feel like they have an awful lot to prove? Your thoughts on whatever regarding tonight's game next on 950 KJ.
Now, back to the Coors Light Husky Honks Talk postgame. Brought to you by your Northwest Chevy dealers on your home for the Huskies. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
There's a snap to McKee. McKee in the pocket. Fires. Batted up into the air and intercepted by Jackson Sermon. 15-20. 25 chased down from behind in the 30-yard line. Jackson Sermon off the deflection comes up with the first interception of his career. He had a near miss earlier in this game. He said, I'm not letting that one get away. And the first turnover of the game goes the Huskies' way with 11-16 to go in the second quarter, tied up at 3 apiece.
I thought we would see a lot more from Tanner McKee than what we saw tonight. Yeah. I was disappointed, man, in the way he played.
What do you mean? Why are you disappointed?
From their perspective, I thought he was better player. I mean, I'm glad that he stunk. He had his worst game of the year against the Huskies.
Maybe we made him have that bad game.
But I thought some of the decisions he made were terrible in this game tonight, like forcing that ball that got off of Higgins' hand. He had to reach back for it, and then late in the game. I'm not sure if you saw this play or not, Greg. We should have you watch it before the Honk Show on Tuesday. Stanford's got the ball. It's 3rd and 5 with about 3 minutes to go. They've got the lead at this point, 13-12. Mm-hmm. And he's rolling to his right, and he's got a running back in the flat, wide open.
And he threw it in the ground.
And he just tossed it right into the ground, and he got rid of it way too late. They're running stride for stride with each other. All he's got to do is dump it off, and he catches that ball for an easy first down. So, you know, a better quarterback, a more seasoned quarterback, probably beats UW tonight, but this is who's on their schedule. So you take it and you move on.
Well, I think you're speaking about things that, you know, happen our way, and that goes in the heat of the game.
Yeah.
You know, as a great player, you're going to make great plays. But when the heat of the game is on, the game's on the line, there's things like that that happen. That's just part of every football game.
I appreciated looking at his face sometimes.
Whose face?
Their quarterback.
Oh, Tanner McKee?
Yeah. I mean, he looked like he was in shell shock a couple times. You know? I mean, he was, you know, his eyes were wide and stuff. I mean, he didn't have the confidence and didn't play with it. That's what.
Well, we made him up to be a great player at the beginning, or we said he was the best quarterback we had faced all year.
Which may not be saying much, by the way.
Maybe he is, but at the end of the day, you got to make plays when they count. And I think the Husky defense did enough to confuse him a little bit. Put just enough pressure on him, you know, put enough doubt on him that in that critical moment he wasn't able to make.
I don't think they win the game tonight without Carson Bruner. Honestly,
no.
The way he stepped up at linebacker, I mean, he gave them. I thought it was the best performance by a linebacker in maybe two years.
Yeah.
Seriously,
exactly.
Going back to 2019, you saw how much those guys struggled 2 years ago with guys like Brandon Wellington, for example. Not to pick on him, but ever since Ben Burkervin has left Washington, they've had a very hard time replacing him. I thought they just did tonight.
We just did. You're right, Dave. I mean, I could see it coming in practice, and I kept telling you guys, as you know, he's going to be a really good player. Well, he emerged tonight. He was a star. I mean, he was
everywhere.
He was everywhere.
He was all over the field, sideline to sideline.
He's got nice instincts. He's a really solid tackler. He brings his legs with him when he tackles. I thought he was one of the stars of the game.
What does that mean, he brings his legs with him?
Well, when you tackle...
Most guys go on their knees?
When you tackle a guy, you can't let your legs go dead. You got to keep driving.
Right.
Because he's going to be driving into you. So, and actually, you know, Sermon has a problem with that a lot of times when he hits, and the guy, he makes the tackle, but it looks like he's getting run over.
So the guy gets
drugged
2-3 yards.
You know, where this kid pops and he drives right on through. I thought Sermon had one of his better games.
And he also doesn't leave his feet unless it's absolutely necessary.
Right.
When you leave your feet and it's not necessary, that's when a guy sidesteps you and he's up the field and up the sideline for you know, plenty extra yards.
How big is he, Bruner, by the way? Because he does not look like a guy that played high school football a year ago.
Well, he looks like he's a good 225 to me.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a mature kid. I mean,
yeah.
But his dad was that build coming in. I mean, Mark didn't get that much bigger when he was at Washington.
The thing about today's linebackers from a size standpoint, you don't want 245-pound guys playing linebacker anymore because then they can't cover sideline to sideline. These guys got to be able to be active in coverage, but they got to be able to run through tackles and make the hit and get you down.
Let's go to DJ is out in Utah. You're on the Honk Show. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, you guys let off a little earlier and said something about Donovan listening to the pregame show. I sure as hell know he has not listened to the postgame show this year.
He should, especially tonight.
Well, Well, if he has, I will say I'm sorry. Just tonight, I will say I'm sorry. I thought he actually did a pretty good job.
Yep.
I'd like to see a little bit more variety out of him. One, on those bunches when we do those bubbles. I mean, it's just automatically, like, we know it's going to be a bubble screen. Everybody else knows it's going to be a bubble screen. Same thing happens when the Wildcat comes into play. But I just have to say that this team actually looks like the Seattle Mariners in a way. We've got a lot of really good talent and really young talent. We could surprise some people, but at the same time, we also might just fall short as well. So really my question is I'm really curious. I mean, how the hell are we going to keep up with Oregon next week? I mean, we knew this game was going to be a barn burner, not even a barn burner, but a tough game in the last 10 matchups. It's 221-214, so it's basically a one-point game between Stanford and UW.
Yeah.
But how the hell are we going to keep up with Oregon next week when they're averaging 34 points a game and we're averaging 21? Uh-huh. I mean, Donovan, he better have some magic bag somewhere, because let's be honest, boys. Dylan Morris in that last drive last week against Arizona saved his bacon.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll have to score 35-40 to beat Oregon, because if you do have to do that, you're going to lose the game. This thing, DJ, and I appreciate the call, and you guys chime in. To me, I think it just starts with your strength, which is your defense, number one. Your defense has to step up in this game next Saturday and hold them to a manageable number. Maybe that number is 24, 27, whatever, around there. And you have to be able to run the ball next Saturday. So I just think if Washington wants to beat Oregon next Saturday, we can start with your defense having their game of the year so far.
Well, Stanford beat Oregon by keeping the ball away from them.
Mm-hmm.
They ground it. And that's what we kind of did today. So we've kind of established the formula that will probably be our best chance of beating them, and that is to just have long drives, come up with something, be it three, I don't care, but you got to get some points when you work all the way down the field, but you use the clock. You keep the ball away from their offense.
That's obviously a big part of the strategy, and that has to happen. But let's add this. Why don't all the Husky fans who have tickets show up to the game, get there early, and scream and yell and make a whole bunch of noise, bring a lot of excitement to the stadium, get behind this team and their defense, and help them give Oregon a hard time.
I'll tell you what Husky fans can do is not sell your tickets to an Oregon person.
My point. If you have a ticket, show up to the game.
There's plenty of seats out there.
Yeah. I'm just
nobody's making money off this game.
I'm just saying, let's show up in mass and get behind these guys and really root our butts off. But, you know, again, keep the ball out of Oregon's hand. Now, Oregon's best running back lost for the year. The backup guy's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. Their quarterback, to me, is just the guy. He's made some plays. They've made just enough plays to win. He can run, but they've made just enough plays to win in some of these games. They haven't necessarily been killing guys unless it's a Colorado, of course. So,
yeah.
To me, I think this is a game that you could potentially, you know, win. But again, I think today was a big step in that formula, running the ball, having a good run game is how you beat Oregon.
We got to have our best game. There's no question.
Of course. That's it. Tickets at venuekings.com are $40 right now for next Saturday. And I haven't seen tickets for the Oregon UW
game.
Husky
fans, go on Venue King right now and buy up all those tickets.
And there's a reason why. I mean, look, part of this is non-football related. I mean, the Seahawks are having problems selling tickets right now. You can get to the Jaguar game tomorrow for like $20, which is crazy, silly, stupid that the tickets are that low.
Mm-hmm.
The vaccinations, the masks, all that stuff has turned some people off. And the team not playing well, obviously, is a combination of it. So it'd be nice. It'd be nice to see a packed house. I mean, Oregon went into today with the third best rushing defense in the conference at just about 130 yards a game. Stanford was the worst. And so give UW credit, at bare minimum, they went out there and they exploited maybe the worst position unit in the Pac-12, which is Stanford's rush defense, and tore them apart.
Dave, why do you always try to minimize what we did?
I'm not minimizing anything. I'm just telling you what they went out
and
did.
You're supposed to be here to make me feel good.
I just did make you feel good. They went out and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. If they could not run on Stanford tonight, they weren't going to run next week on Oregon.
Yeah, and again, to me, we don't have to come out and run for 240 yards, but we have to be proficient in the run game and do, and you know, we're going to break down Oregon's film. We're going to see how have teams had success. What does Stanford do against them? We're going to look for tendencies. So that's all part of the process. Donovan's got to figure that out. What do we do well? But it really comes down at the end of the day to execution. We got to block well. We got to move the football. We got to catch passes. We got to do all of those execution things that keep our offense on the field. We got to extend. You got to have a really good percentage. Though to me, the number one thing is you got to have a good third down conversion percentage, because you don't want to keep giving Oregon opportunities to be on the field offensively.
I just was really surprised that Stanford never adjusted their corner coverage in depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, those passes to the
stop
outside.
The run, you mean?
No, the pass to the outside.
Gotcha.
You know, which is a form of a run, really. Right. I mean, it's like a sweep. But they really didn't make any adjustment. You saw them come up in bump, but then they bail out.
Yeah.
You know, so it was that was a mystery to me, because we just kept taking it. It was like, you know, okay, you're not going to tell you. We're going to get 5-10 out of it, you know, and really.
Yeah.
I mean, the play by McMillan was really super. I mean, he was really the best guy out there.
Yeah, and it showed up really, really profoundly on the slant routes. They were back so far and gave him the inside that every time he was able to get in a position to complete those slant routes.
Let's go to Ryan. You're on the Honks in Olympia. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Sophie?
Good.
Good. My only thought was that we've really struggled running the ball, and tonight we finally ran the ball. And I'm wondering what your guys' thoughts are about, going against Oregon next week. Can we continue this? Because they really shoved it down the throats of Stanford. So I'm just curious what you guys think about the thoughts of that going against Oregon next week.
Well, we just talked about that a little bit, but I would just kind of take it in a different direction and ask, why did it work tonight? Why did the running game work tonight? And it's not just the 42 carries, because they average almost 6 yards a carry. Why did the running game work tonight when it has not been working?
Well, we talked about Stanford's proficiency or lack thereof against the run, so that's one thing. We got to, I'm keeping it real. We got to be honest about that. But they did
some. You bust my balls for keeping it real, but yeah, you can keep it real.
But they did some different things today. We talked about the counter. I thought that was huge. We pulled our offensive linemen this week. Sometimes we pull two, sometimes we pull one, and that worked really well. But the guys executed. At the end of the day, the guard and the tackles kicked the butts of the guys in front of them. Our running backs ran really hard today. I thought those guys were downhill. They were aggressive. They took care of the football. They made plays. They made guys miss. I saw a spin move that Cam Davis did early in the game.
Yeah, he looked good.
That looked really good.
Yep.
These guys are, and Cam Davis now is, a little bit older. He's had some hardships. He's overcome those. So I think that, will we rush for 230, 40 yards against Oregon? Probably not. But can we rush for 150, 175, keep the chains moving, keep ourselves in third and shorts? Absolutely, and that's what we need to be able to do.
I thought they had more mix with the counter play in there. They would have a tight end in the backfield. The tight end would block with the pulling guard.
Right.
So we'd have two guys going one way. And I really thought the guards did a really nice job of blocking, especially on those pulls.
But don't run the option, though. Let's not run that. I don't know that the option was a good play for
speed option. You mean towards the end zone?
Yeah, it didn't look very good.
Well, they ran that option late in the game when Dylan Morris kept it, and he faked out the cameraman because nobody had any idea where the ball was.
Well, I'm talking about the speed option.
No, I know that. But doesn't he need to show that he's going to keep that to make that play work?
It's basically been there all year, but he just doesn't ever take it because I don't think he's really a great runner. But that was a big run in the game. That keep option and
huge.
That was a monster play, and he did it with his feet.
I think you could argue, and people say I'm prone to hyperbole, which I think is nonsense.
And you like to argue?
Way. I love to argue. You know what? Stop arguing with me. I thought that the option call to Dylan Morris on 2nd and 9 from the 28 may have been the best call of the year by John Donovan. That one call right there may have been the best call of the year. It was creative. It was surprising. It took Stanford by surprise. It juked out the cameraman. It faked out everybody watching on TV. It worked. It got him into a very comfortable situation to get that touchdown pass to McMillan. So, look, I mean, I would just ask you, name a bigger one. Name a bigger, more impressive play call that John Donovan's made since he's been here, at least this year, than that one.
Well,
that was it.
The pass at the end.
Yeah, the slant down.
Right, but that was a one-on-one, let's go beat this guy in the corner. But That play took some creativity right there.
But well, they had set it up, Dave, all day with the slant, and then he had a slant and go, and it, the kid just executed.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing you that that wasn't a great play call. It was, and it was executed really well. But I also think that there were other plays. I think the fact that they were willing to stick with the run game because they were having success, they didn't try to get too excited and too anxious and throw the ball down the field. They said, we're just going to keep going with the run game. I know we're only up three, we're only up six, but it's working, and it's giving us an opportunity to be
successful. I think they probably called the keep on that play. I think they probably sent it down, run the read zone, and tell the quarterback to keep the ball. I think that because I really haven't seen him do it much the whole year.
Yeah, Curtis, can we get a short break? Is that okay? We'll get a short break. Come back, wrap it up with more of your phone calls next on 950 Cage.
Now back to the Coors Light Husky Honks Talk postgame. Brought to you by your Northwest Chevy dealers on your home for the Huskies. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
McKee
goes down. He lost the football, and it's still loose. And Savelle Smalls jumps on it for the Huskies. The second turnover forced tonight by the Washington defense. The Dogs come up with another big hit. And it's Savelle Smalls who pounces on it for the Dogs with 7:54 to go in the third quarter. Carson Bruner jarred it loose. And Washington will have the football with its best field position of the day at the Stanford 34.
Carson Bruner, 15 tackles, 11 solo. One sack, one TFL, one forced fumble. Jackson Sermon, 7 tackles. Dom Hampton had 5 more. And I thought it looked like his most significant playing time on defense since he got yanked from the Michigan game in week two.
That lot was due to injury.
No, there's no doubt about that. But he deserved to play because he played well tonight in the game. So, you know, hopefully he's back now. He's out of whatever doghouse he was living in for a while there, and he's back on the field. But, hey, he played good. You know, Buki, Riley Hiles didn't do much, but did his job, obviously. Yep. And then you mentioned Voitu Ufi, had 2 sacks on back-to-back drives. Good to see Sam Taimani back out there today as well. Taki Taimani played. And then Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon just keep doing what they're doing every week and just shutting, for the most part, everything down.
And Powell had some really
good passes.
Powell had some great passes.
You know what he allowed them to do is to move one of those corners into the inside.
Right.
And that because we talked about that, and they did try to attack the inside.
Let's bang out a bunch of calls here. John's in Portland. John, is this Gone John? Gone John, how are you?
Hey, I'm still here, man. Not gone yet.
I love it, baby.
How you doing, Softy?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, just an overview of the game. I thought this was the first game that we played all year where the offense and defense complemented each other. I thought all year long our offense, our ineptitude, put our defense or the stress level on our defense like really high, and everything was magnified. So our offense tonight scored when the opportunity presented itself. No turnovers, pretty clean game. And our defense caused a couple turnovers, which helped our offense. So, you know, last week's game, road win. I mean, I knew what you were saying, Softy, all week long. That was just ugly. But this game, it looked like everything fit. Granted, we didn't have the offensive explosion, but, you know, we played a clean game. And so I think the comments about Donovan – I quiet down for a week, but we still got a long ways to go.
Long way to go. There's no doubt about
it. Let's win the next one.
Yeah, UW has a very long way to go. I mean, what is the ultimate goal, right? Let's be honest. The ultimate goal is to be among the elite of college football and compete for a title and get back to a Final Four and Rose Bowl and things like that. And they don't feel like they're really close to doing something like that. But
that kind of went out the door with the first game.
I would say you're right. I would say losing to Montana, you flush the whole Final Four conversation. Exactly. And like I've said, guys, a couple couple times this year. Maybe the expectations for this team were just too high to begin with. You know, maybe we overestimated how good this offensive line was based on four games and the fact that everybody was back. You remember the Montana pregame show? I asked you on the air, how good is this offensive line? They've got everybody back, but we only saw them play four games a year ago. Yeah. So really, how good are they? And then you went on your rant after the Michigan game about how young the roster is.
It is.
Maybe we should step back and admit that the expectations were too high for this year to begin with, and instead of being at the end of something, we are now at the beginning of something.
Yeah, that's very well put, Dave. And you know what? I agree with you.
It's rational thinking.
Very rational
well thought
thinking.
Out.
Or it's just 12:30 and I'm tired as hell. And I'm getting loopy.
And in your golf game kicked your ass.
What are you talking about? All right. You want to follow that up, Greg? Are you good?
I'm good.
You're good. All right, Matt and Bonnie Lake. Caller. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So I got like six things I want to say, but I know.
All right. Here we go.
Can you make it two?
I know. Okay. Number one is the ZTF offsides. The play clock was at zero. I think he was smart to jump it, but whatever. But no, number one thing I want to tell you guys is every time that we play a game on the postgame show, we're never impressed by the quarterback, right? Like quarterback threw for 50 yards here, 45 yards here. Well, the Michigan quarterback threw for 385 yards tonight.
Yeah.
The quarterback from Oregon State threw for almost 250 yards. The guy tonight for Stanford, we're like, oh, he sucks. Well, he's played well against it. I mean, the secondary is solid, man, which almost makes it more frustrating, right? That, like, we haven't been able to capitalize on that. But I've been down to Stanford, like, in the last 14 years and watched two or three losses against, you know, Andrew Luck and Kevin Hogan and all that. So the fact that we won the game at Stanford, for me, is a huge deal. The play calling on third down near the goal line was so frustrating, because it was pretty conservative. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, I'm pretty happy that we won at Stanford, because it doesn't happen very often. And even if you have, like, really good expectations for the season, we all said, okay, you know, 10-2, counting, we're probably going to lose at Stanford, because we always do. The fact that we beat Stanford, man, I mean, that's awesome. If we can make the quarterback for Oregon next week look like the guy from Oregon State or Michigan, it gives us a chance. So anyway, guys. Good win. Bye.
Appreciate the call. Yeah.
Nice call. I don't want to make their quarterback look like the Michigan guy because we lost. And, you know, yeah. I don't care how we play as long as we get more points.
Yeah. Well, the frustration with the Michigan game is that they were so one-dimensional. And you made them one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the guy's trying to say, the Husky pass defense made Michigan one-dimensional. They made Oregon State one-dimensional, and they still could not take advantage of that.
I think what the Huskies are doing, though, is they're showing that we're willing to put even more pressure on our corners by bringing in an extra defensive lineman now, by putting more guys around the football, and in order to stop teams from rushing on us like Michigan did. And so now they're saying our corners are good enough, even if we don't put a lot of guys, even if we put a lot of guys around the football, they're good enough to still shut the pass game down by themselves. And if we get improved safety play like we did today, that makes it even tougher.
Yeah, I think Dom Hampton really added a lot.
Was he playing in Asa's spot tonight? Asa Turner's spot?
Yeah, I think. Okay. I would say that.
So will they stick with that, you think?
The way he played.
Look better with 21 out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No question. And four. I mean, you got 44. I mean, Buki, you got to leave him out there in those two corners. There's four guys right there. So, and with Bruner showing as such a good linebacker, I feel a lot better about up the middle defense. And obviously, you mentioned getting Taki back was really huge. He made some really nice plays. And, you know, I really think 91 and 94, our two guys are really stout in there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? They're getting in shape, so they run to the ball well now.
Let's go to who's been waiting longest. How about James Shoreline? You're on the air, James. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, first of all, Softy, I just want to say, man, I'm sorry to hear you're not in the north side anymore. I just learned that you moved to down south.
Yeah, we went down to the Dez, baby. That traffic was sucking the life out of me. And guess what? The minute we moved, nobody's driving because of the pandemic. Unbelievable.
I know, man, but we miss you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
So I wanted to talk about the quarterback. And just I'm a little surprised. I feel like you guys are going a little easy on him because it's, I mean, he's missing guys. We're talking horizontal routes. He's throwing behind guys. I think he did that multiple times tonight. And, I mean, I get it. He hit the pass at the end there. That was a nice pass. And, you know, I think it's not like he's not capable of making the right throws, but they're making good throws. But, you know, there's just – I feel like when looking big picture at this team and then looking at what he's – looking at how he looked last year and then seeing, you know, comparing that to – this year, and just, you know, he's done more almost a full year, a full slate of games. I haven't seen much progression, you know, and I feel like, if anything, he had a couple of pretty good games last year, and this might be his best game this year just because of the, you know, that last throw there. But I feel like we could be 6-2 easily, you know, with a decent quarterback, not even a great quarterback. So, he seems like a good guy. I don't like throwing the guy under the bus or anything. Mm-hmm. It just feels like he's not really getting the job done.
There's limitations there, right? There's limitations to what you can do in the pass game, and I don't think there's any doubt about that.
But I think he gives us our best chance.
Well, that's the other part of it. So we were talking, James, I appreciate the call, man. We're talking on Twitter, going back and forth with God knows who or what these people do or where they are. I have no idea. But sometimes you get sucked in. And I know one guy was Jordan Reffitt, former Husky. And we're going back and forth on Twitter, and I agree. There are massive limitations to what Dylan Morris can do. I think you said it on the pregame, Greg, that he's a better deep ball thrower than he is an intermediate thrower. Like, he can drive, but he can't chip whatsoever, right, to use a golf analogy.
Sounds like me.
Exactly, or me, for example. But I still think today he's your best option. Now, he may not be your best option next September, right?
Right.
In 10 months from now, it may be time for number 7. And if Dylan Morris doesn't take some steps in the passing game, he's going to open the window for a guy like number 7 to step in. But there's no doubt, Greg, that he's got some shortcomings in his pass game for sure.
And we've talked that to death ad nauseum this year, I think.
It's kind of obvious now, right?
I just think that where he's probably played his best 6 quarters in a row for as a football player, today is not the day I want to go in hard on him, because we've talked about that quite a bit, what his shortcomings are, what he needs to improve on, and where he needs to get better. And I think to some degree he's done that. He hasn't had a turnover in 6 quarters. He hasn't had he's thrown some bad passes, I guess is what the gentleman was trying to say in the first half, but he's made some good plays. He's hit timely
passes. He made the play that won the game.
He threw a great touchdown today. So I'm not going to really get on him today when we've talked about that at
Nazi. I thought it was his best drive. I thought the Utah drive last year when he hit Cade Otton going to his left was maybe his best drive or best pass I've ever seen.
A couple great passes last week.
The guy he made some good passes. I mean, people are going to measure Dylan Morris when he has a chance to start in a game like next Saturday when he plays Oregon. Mm-hmm. When he plays in the Apple Cup, right? If they play in a bowl game against a decent FBS program, those are the games where Dylan Morris will really be judged. And let's face it, Coach, it's where the coaching staff is going to be judged in games like that.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, these games coming down the stretch. I mean, the nice thing is we got the three really good opponents all at home.
Mm-hmm. And ASU, and Oregon, and the Cougs.
And the only road game is Colorado, and they're probably
struggling.
Well, they put up 30 points on the Ducks today. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Right.
It could be. But you're right. I mean, they've got 4 games left, and who knows where this thing is going to go.
Right, exactly.
They could win them all. They could lose them all.
Hey, I'd just take the next one.
I'm with you.
Oregon would be so huge.
How about this? You can get the next one, but that's it. No more. I guarantee you right now, you win Saturday, but you get nothing the rest. That means you lose the Apple Cup. You take it?
Could I have the Apple Cup instead? Could I take the Apple Cup instead?
I'm not saying that because I think, you know, if you're guaranteed.
I think Dick's head almost exploded.
I'd rather try to go out and see how many we can win.
All right. That's not part of the deal, though.
I know.
You either take the deal or you pass. You're going to pass.
I want to beat the
Ducks.
You're
going to pass.
I hate the Ducks.
You're going to roll the dice and pass.
I'm not going to take 1-3.
All right. Let's get one more call. Jeremy's in Seattle. Jeremy, you're on the Honks. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Right on. Hey, so I do agree with that. I'm not a huge, you know, I think Morris has been, you know, he's definitely been lacking this year. I don't like it. I think the biggest thing for me, though, is just in watching the second half tonight, the D line, I mean, it's just Stanford was able to open holes whenever they wanted to. And so I think we're lacking that Vita Vea, we're lacking that Greg Gaines, we're lacking that guy in the middle and stuff like that. And so I'm just, it's the D line, I think, that's really concerning me on the on
wait
the
a minute, wait a minute. Did you watch the same game I watched? I thought we stuffed the run.
I think he was watching a game on tape from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because did you watch McCaffrey on tape tonight?
What were the stats of
Stanford ran the ball for 71 yards and 2.6 yards per carry.
I think that's really good defense against the run. I'll take that in any game.
Yeah. Jeremy, do you realize the longest run by a Stanford running back tonight was 9 yards?
But it was a concerning trend, right?
Well, it was going into this game. You're absolutely right. I mean, we were having trouble stopping the run, but in this particular game, I thought our defense stepped up.
And here's where I also might disagree a little with that is we may have a Vita Vea. He's just young. I think we have some young defensive linemen that have the opportunity.
Don't say to we're become, young, you'll get in trouble.
Become those great defensive linemen that we've had. So I wouldn't say we don't have a Vita Vea. They may not be Vita Vea as a senior or a junior, but I think we do have some kids that potentially could be that type of player.
By the time they're a senior.
Yeah, by the time they're right. juniors and seniors.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeremy, go ahead.
If you guys,
rebuttal.
If you guys would. But how would you guys think that's going to happen, against Oregon next week? I mean, honestly,
that could be tough. Who knows? Who knows? It could be tough. I mean, I think, again, there's no doubt that, Oregon provides a challenge that Stanford does not provide, right? I mean, they're a much better football team, and they beat them. Stanford beat them. I mean, I know how that happened. I still got no idea how the hell Oregon beat Ohio State, to be honest with you, earlier in the year. I mean, college football is crazy. It's wacky. And you know what? If college football is going to be crazy and wacky and there's going to be parity, then why can't we take advantage of that?
Okay,
every
we're
now
going
and then
to.
And win on Saturday against Oregon.
Yes!
All right?
Now we're talking.
You guys got to start believing. I'm tired of your negativity. All right, Curtis, good stuff, man. Thanks for coming down. Greg, we'll see you Tuesday, pal. Yep. Dick, we're going to head home and get out of here. For everybody, Tony, Cam, Elise, Jordan, Michael back at Learfield, everybody that was taking part in the broadcast today, we have been on the air. What time did the game kick off? 7:30? So 3:30. We've been on the air since 3:30, hanging out here in the Sports Pit because we love what we do, and we love talking to dog fans win or lose. We like it more when they win, but we'll do it when they lose as well. We'll get a break, get out of here, and we'll see you Monday at 3 o'clock. Bye.